Good evening and welcome to Mara Bible Church. And we'll start with singing Faith is the Victory in your song sheets, number 402. And we'll stand hymn number 402, Faith is the Victory.
Welcome each one of you here tonight. So glad to see you. We have some people here in the building, and we're very glad that you are able to come out and be with us tonight. And we want to welcome those that perhaps would be online, whether right now live or later on watching this. Or we still have some folks that are on the CDs, and perhaps you're listening by way of CD. So we want to welcome you and just say thank you for listening here to us. And again, you know, if you have maybe just joined in here recently, we'd like to know who you are. We have a guest book in our foyer. We'd love to have you come and visit. But if you can't do that, we'd love to know if you have been with us online. So send us an email. The email address is office@morrowbiblechurch.org. Just let us know who you are and where you're from. I'd love to be able to pray for you. And you can send us a note, too, by mail. That'll work as well. But we'd just like to know who is with us, if you would like to share that. One benefit that you have of being here tonight is that you have an opportunity to share a testimony. And that's a special privilege of being in the building, which really is the better option. But we have some of these secondary options going as well. But those of you that are here in the building, we'll take some time for testimonies tonight and just encourage you to think about that in a few moments. Just looking at things coming up here, we are seeking to reach out on Wednesday afternoons. We're meeting here at 4:30, trying to reach out to our community around the church neighborhood here, community. And there's still more people that we have not talked to yet, so we're planning to meet here for that on Wednesday. We have an elders meeting. It's planned for January the 14th at 6:30. That's Thursday night. And then our annual congregational meeting is coming up on January the 31st. So again, just a reminder about submitting reports for that. If you usually do that, if you can think about what you need to do to get that in soon. Our elders serve terms here at our church, terms of 3 years. And we have two elders that their term has expired, Mr. Ron Margraf, Mr. Steve Lewis. And we're thankful for their service here as elder. And we have a nominating committee that's been appointed and will make nominations for elder. And those can also be received from the membership up to 1 week prior to the business meeting. Again, the live stream is something that's new for us. We've just started that in the past couple weeks, and you can access that through the church YouTube page, and you can pull up YouTube on any device that has the internet, on a phone or a tablet or a computer or a smart TV or something else, a lot of different devices, but if you need help to know how to do that, just ask somebody that has been able to do it successfully here you can ask me or some of the folks working in the sound area, audiovisual, and it's not too hard to do. You can also get to it from our website. There's a link there. It says live stream, and you can also view it there as well. We're planning a Christian Life seminar starting on February the 3rd. That's going to be featuring Dr. Jim Berg's Quieting a Noisy Soul program. There's some information about that on the bulletin board, but that is a program that is kind of a biblical counseling program, and it deals with help regarding overcoming various types of turmoil in a person's life, all different kinds of things that people experience, and this is a program that gives help to that noise in the soul. And so we have permission to do that in a kind of a hybrid way. We're going to be doing that Wednesday nights for 12 weeks starting February 3rd. And we're also going to be able to do that, to offer that same thing online via a live stream. And so we are asking people to register for that. It is offered at no cost, it's free. And so I hope that some will take advantage of that. There is a companion guide that can be purchased for $25 from the church. That's optional. But The description of that is there on the bulletin board. I'll just read that again, but it says this: sounds of guilt, anxiety, anger, despair, addictions, and even entertainment can generate overwhelming noise in our souls. The quiet rest and joy promised by the Lord Jesus can seem elusive and almost impossible, yet his words still beckon to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," Matthew 11:28. His call extends even to those experiencing panic attacks, obsessive thoughts, compulsive behaviors, as well as those practicing more overtly destructive behaviors such as anorexia, bulimia, addiction, self-mutilation. No human problem of the soul is too complicated, and no personal agony is too overwhelming for the Master. And so this is being offered both for personal counsel and also for edification. I think this will be something that any believer really would find to be a help, and as well for guidance in helping others. And so hope you consider that. Also appreciate those that have taken the time to serve in the church cleaning. We have a church cleaning schedule. We've had more people that have been able to be on that, which has kind of helped to spread out the responsibility there. And we're working on another schedule here for the upcoming months. If anybody would like to be on that, you'd be able to serve and be on that rotation. If you could let me know if you'd like to do that. And we'll get that going here soon. Let's see, there's a note that I wanted to read. I left on the bulletin board. Eva, can you go get that? It's a note from Mrs. Hetrick, Chrissy Hetrick. It's like a pink piece of paper on the bulletin board. Okay. Have good news. We are breathing clean air in our church here. Dan Wiley has installed the ionizers into our air systems, our HVAC systems here at the church. And so these things are, even now, at this moment, killing COVID, perhaps, if it's here. And so we appreciate that. They're kind of an air purification system. It's an ionizer is what it's called. And it's able to latch on to these bad things in the air and just bring them down, neutralize them, and so they're not a threat. And so one of those was installed here in the foyer, and then one on this side as well. So now we have the status of being protected even more from COVID. So I want everybody to know that. Perhaps those of you watching, you know, you can feel safe if you want to come and join us here in the building, because we have ionizers. And so that's a real blessing to be able to have that. Mrs. Hetrick, Chrissy Hetrick, sent us a note this week, and she says this: "Dear friends, I hope everyone had a good, healthy Christmas. Mine was very quiet, spent it alone. Most of my family are in the workplace and around many people. In order to spend many more holidays together, we chose to stay apart this one. My son Barry is scheduled to have the spots on his kidney frozen January 4th. That's tomorrow. We pray that will be successful. Not sure how much this kidney will function after the treatment, but thank God the other kidney is healthy far as they know. God's blessing on all. Hope to be back with you sometime in 2021. God bless. Love, God bless. Chrissy." Then she adds, "P.S. I appreciate very much Pastor Howard sending me the CD and the literature weekly." So it's a nice note there from Chrissy Hetrick. All right. A couple prayer requests I'll mention here. We heard that Randy Wilkinson's mother, Jean, is in not very good condition right now. She is on a ventilator. She did test positive for COVID, I believe, and they're in the hospital in Columbus. So just pray for Randy's mother, Jean. And yes.
We just got word that Randy received a call on his, when he was on the route down to see his mother, that she's not really expecting to live through the night. So just pray for her there.
Maybe. Okay, so his mother is not expected to live through the night. She's in very serious condition. So please pray for Randy and his family, his mother, especially at this time. We also had a report that Bob Griffin passed away from COVID, and that is somebody that I know some folks know from Westerville Bible Church, and so I want to pray for the Griffin family. And our neighbor passed away, Jim Wilson, just Saturday, I believe it was, Friday or Saturday. And he was in poor health, but he did pass away. His wife called me this afternoon and asked if I would do the funeral for him. So I'm planning to do the funeral on Friday at 1 o'clock there. It's going to be in Fredericktown at Snyder in funerals. It's going to be Snyder in Fredericktown. It's going to be a small funeral, but I will be doing that for them. And then just pray for our country. Of course, there's a lot of things going on. On Tuesday, there's the runoff election there in Georgia that'll decide the majority party in the Senate. It's a very critical election. And also a group of senators that are objecting to the Electoral College results, or at least some of them anyway, this week. And so pray for our country and our president as that goes on. All right. Well, we'll open it up for testimonies here. Anybody have a testimony, anything you'd like to share, or a prayer request, anything you want to share tonight? Yes. Okay, unspoken for Ron Margraf. Just remember that. Anybody else? Any testimonies, prayer requests, anything you'd like to share? Yes, Sue.
I was talking to my aunt this afternoon, and my cousin that's special needs that had COVID, he's still in Cleveland Hospital, and he's still on a trach, but they said he's on the uphill climb now. He can't talk with the trach in, but he was calling for texting his mom to bring up his headphones so he could listen to music.
So praise. That's a praise that Sue's cousin, who had COVID, is doing better, even though he's still hospitalized, a boy with special needs. So just praise that he's doing better. All right. Anyone else tonight? Other testimonies or prayer requests, anything you'd like to share? Yes, Pastor Gossman.
I don't see Samuel here at the moment. Not just, probably just as well. Scripture says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And when I saw little Joseph today, it reminded me of his dad when he was just a little bit older than that. And we were watching an old VCR of a program we had when over in the barn when their kids were young, and we've had a lot of young people that some have gone on to serve the Lord, others have gone by the wayside, and it's a great blessing to see another generation that's coming that loves the Lord, wants to serve the Lord, and I don't expect to be around when I see these young ones to see that another couple generations. But until the Lord returns, we just encourage each one to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I wanted to add Tabitha in that too. You go through a lot of things. I didn't know Tabitha as a little girl, but it's a blessing to see them here together, desiring to serve God.
Right. Yes. Yeah, blessing to have the Finnerins visiting with us tonight, and most of you know them. And blessing also to have Samuel's mother here, Susan Finneran, and of course Samuel. Spent many years growing up in this church. He has served in this church, and I'm glad that he is still able to come back and visit. And then Tabitha, she was here when she was an older teen, I think, when she first moved here with her parents to work at Panal Bible Camp. And then Samuel and Tabitha got married in, I think it was 2017, right? And so I was there for that, remember that. And then we had the blessing of having Samuel and Tabitha serve here in this church for a couple years. And then in 2019, that's when they moved to Spartanburg, South Carolina. That's where they've been since I think it was April 2019 when they moved down to Spartanburg, and they have served there at Trinity Baptist Church at Spartanburg, South Carolina, helping them. And Samuel also works full-time, and he's helping out the church there as well. I think he first attended that church when he was a student at Ambassador Baptist Bible College, which is nearby. It's in North Carolina, actually, but he started attending that church, and he was able to go and help them out as well. And so we've been talking all about you, Samuel, so glad that you're here again, and I'm not quite ready for you to preach yet, but just given the extended introduction. But he mentioned to me this week that he's going to be here and he'd be willing to serve. And so I asked him if he would give a message tonight, and he agreed to do that. And so he's going to be giving the message tonight. We also appreciate his service this morning there with the special music and leading our singing this morning. So we're thankful for that. All right. Anybody else tonight? Any other testimonies? Anything you'd like to share? Yes, Mr. Ray.
I'd like to just take this moment to thank the Lord for helping me through this past year on all the different areas that I have to deal with. And I also want to thank the church family for the prayer, support, however big or however little, with all the things that me and my wife went through last year. And I truly appreciate it. And I appreciate you, Pastor, for helping me through some of the technical issues when my mom passed away. And just to narrow it down a little bit to where it wouldn't quite so overwhelming, because, like I said, I'm a savvy one when it comes to iPhones. I still got my flip phone. I'm not ready to wait out of it. But I just thank everyone for everything that they did, however big or small.
Thank you for that. Okay, anybody else tonight? Any other testimonies? Yes, Amy.
I was listening to Adrian Rogers' message this on New Year's morning, and it was about New Year's resolutions, embarking upon a new year, and he said something. Message that just sparked a thought in me that I never thought about before. He said, the worth of something isn't determined by what it's valued at, but by how much someone's willing to pay for it. And for example, the Mona Lisa, even though it may be valued at millions and millions of dollars, it ain't worth a dime if nobody's willing to pay for it. And then he said, it humbles me that God valued, or God thought that I was worth Calvary. He thought that I was worth sacrificing His Son for me. And then I thought of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when I thought about that, it just stopped me in my tracks, that God values me worth sacrificing
Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? I'm thankful for safety this past Monday. I took some of my girls down, three of them. We went down to visit the Creation Museum, and my cousin and his family were going to go visit. We had plans for our whole family to go down, but Pearl was sick last week, and she still was still not completely well on Monday. So she and Mom stayed home, and I took the other three, and we went down to the Creation Museum on Monday, and then we were able to spend the night down there and go to the Ark right the next day. And so just praise the Lord for safety there, and we had a good time seeing all the sights there. It's always a really eye-opening thing to be able to go through all that. A lot of people there this past week. I guess maybe more people had time off this past week to go. And so we had a good time. It was just a good reminder of all that God did. I guess maybe the Ark to me was more, it's more impressive. It's just, you know, the Ark, it's really big and it's there. And, you know, it's just a real life reminder of what God did to the earth. He sent judgment on that wicked world and all those people. It's interesting to think of the amount of people that there could have been on the earth before the flood. And God sent his judgment on those people. And, of course, the whole thing is an outreach, really. It's a gospel witness, and they give the gospel all throughout. And we need to be prepared for that judgment to come. But I'm thankful that we were able to do that. It was a quick trip, but the Lord gave us safety. And maybe another time we can go all together as a family. But kids are free there. Actually, kids are free again this year. They opened it up to, for free kids, 10 and under anyway. So all of my kids are 10 and under. So we could probably still do it until July anyway when we have somebody that's 11. So that's nice that they did that anyway. You have to pay even more. It's not cheap, I have to say that. But I'm thankful we're able to go. All right. Anyone else tonight? Okay, well, let's have our last song here, and then we'll have Samuel come and give the message.
For our next song, we'll sing number 473, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. We'll stand and we'll sing the first and the last.
Thank you. Well, good evening. It's a privilege to be able to preach here at Morrow Bible Church. I think this is the first time that I've gotten the privilege to. I can't remember for sure. The first time I ever preached for Morrow was, I can't remember how old I was. I would have been in my teens. But me and Caleb preached our little, like a 10-minute devotional down at the Easter graveside service, sunrise service. And that was the first time opportunity that I got to preach in. And I remember my dad thoroughly coached me through, and it was like, here's the commentaries that you need to read on your passage and such. But anyhow, I consider it a privilege, but also one that I know I'm not worthy of, but I praise God that He made me worthy. My goal tonight is that you would see Jesus, and my text is going to be out of Romans 1:17. That's going to be my core verse, but it's going to be a topical message over faith. The title of my message is called "Living by Faith." Living by faith. When I thought of what is something that is core, is key for us to be reminded of as we embark upon this new year, what can we be reminded of that is a key factor for our Christian living in this new year? And I'm convinced that faith is a key foundation to victorious Christian living and living a life that is pleasing in God's sight. And I think that we'll see that. So the goal of my message this morning or this evening is that every believer would recognize the importance of living by faith. In every Christian's life, we've experienced that faith that initially saves us, but then somehow over the course of our Christian life, we forget somehow that the daily faith is a vitality to our Christian life. And I hope tonight to imply to you the importance of living by faith. Let's read Romans 1:17. We'll read Romans 1:16 along with it. Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And then verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. That phrase, "the just shall live by faith," is repeated four different times throughout Scripture. So I think it's imperative that we understand the importance of living by faith. There's going to be four different points that I have, and they all start with P, for those of you taking notes. The first point is the purpose of faith. What is the purpose of faith? There's the initial faith that saves us. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So there's that initial faith that saves us. We're saved by grace through faith. Then another purpose for faith is to please God. To please God, which is our reason for existing. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure we are and were created." For Thy pleasure we are and were created. So that's our purpose for existing, for His pleasure. Now turn over to Hebrews 11:6, and what's that say? "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him." It's impossible to please Him without faith. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So if our existence on earth is to please God, and it's impossible to please God without faith, how vitally important do you think that walking by faith, living by faith, on a daily basis. How great of an importance do you think that that is? I would say it's pretty important, especially when we become Christians, when we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Our goal is to please God. We have a desire, not our desire isn't to please ourselves anymore. We recognize that we even have a desire. God changes our desire from pleasing ourselves to focused on Him, to pleasing God. And that's the reason we were created. So that's another purpose of faith, to please God. Then thirdly, a third purpose of faith is that it's a necessity for the believer. Romans 1:17, which is repeated four different times. The just shall live by faith. This means that a Christian will rely on God and take Him at His word. Take Him for the promises that He makes and trust in those promises. Following Him faithfully through all circumstances of life and receiving the fulfillment of God's promises. Why? What does Hebrews 11:6 says? It says, because He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And we'll come back to that point. Faith involves trusting God through all circumstances of life, taking God at His word, and relying completely on the promises that He gives in His word. Faith doesn't base its hope or security on things that are seen, but on the invisible. Rather, confidently placing its trust in spiritual realities, and ultimately results in a deeper and a closer relationship with God. I'm going to reference Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 2, it says, or verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So there's the purpose of faith. Secondly, there's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Turn over to James, if you would. James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now I'll read the first several verses. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And read verse 7 carefully. It says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. God wants us to come to Him in prayer with faith. Now, Pastor Howard, you use your kids in your messages for illustration, so why can't I? So say that Pearl comes up to Daddy. She says, Daddy, I want a new car. Or no, let's be a little more realistic. Daddy, I want a pony. I want a pony. Do you like horses, Pearl? You like horses? Yeah? Okay. We'll just say that you do anyways. Okay, so you go to your dad and you say, Dad, I want a horse. Yes, a horse. And now, Pearl being younger, she may not realize that her dad's probably not going to say yes. So let's move on to Lillian. Lillian's a little older, a little smarter. She knows that horses might be a little expensive, and you know. So let's say she goes to her dad and she says, "Dad, I want a new horse. I want a big horse. And I want it to be this kind, and I want it to be this color, and I want a saddle." She has all these dreams of what she wants, okay? Now, do you really think that your dad's going to get that? No. But you're hoping that he will. But say your dad just got a big bonus, and he wants from the bottom of his heart to make you thrilled. And he says, you know, in his heart, he's thinking, "I want to make my daughter happy. But she's asking me for something that she really doesn't have confidence that I'm going to give her. She really doesn't have faith that I'm going to fulfill that request of hers." How much do you think he really wants to give that to you? Yeah, maybe not, you know, he wants to, but he's a little disappointed because he knows that you're not really asking in faith that he's going to give it to you, but rather hoping. And I think it's the same way with God, that God desires to give us the desires of our hearts when we delight ourselves in Him. But a lot of times we go to God hoping for things, hoping for answers to prayer, hoping for these big things. So that way we don't say that God let us down if He didn't answer our prayer, but He just, we didn't get what we wanted. But God says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart." He says to ask in faith, and it shall be given to him. God wants us to come to Him in faith, not doubting His power. Come to the Lord, trusting that God can do all things, that there is no impossibilities with God, that God is capable of fulfilling your requests. The desires of your heart. The prayer of faith does not waver or falter if there are no immediate results, but rather persistently prays continuously, knowing and trusting that God will answer. I think one of the hardest applications of this point right here can be when we're praying for somebody that's not saved. We're praying for somebody for God to save them. We pray over and over and over and over and over again. And it just seems like that person is just turned off to the truth, turned off to the Word of God, and really wants nothing to do with the Word of God. And it can be easy to give up on that person and to think maybe they're just not ever going to come to know Christ as Savior. And maybe we get discouraged and we go through a season where we give up on praying for that person. But no, God says, knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking, and you'll find, and He'll answer you. God says to pray, and to keep on praying, and to keep on praying, and to keep on praying. Now, I know as a parent that can get a little frustrating sometimes when they keep talking. You stop asking, or you're not going to get it. But God says, I want you to keep on asking. I don't want you to give up. I want you to ask in faith and keep on asking in faith and keep on asking in faith with that persistent, continuous faith. And He will answer. He will answer. Temptations. Verse 2 of James 1, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this is the trying of your faith worketh patience." Temptations or trials can be used of God to strengthen your faith. The believer must see each trial as an opportunity to respond to the transforming work of God. James reminds the believer that your faith will grow stronger as it's faced with difficulties and oppositions. When you go through trials, it's faith that is the key that unlocks the door to surrender, letting God mold you and shape you through each trial, testing you, and proving your faith. And when we choose to see our burdens as opportunities instead of oppressions, instead of suffering, we see them as opportunities through which God can work, that is when we can truly count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations and trials. Many of us have been baffled as to why God would have allowed such trial and hardship to come upon Job. When he was a just man, he was one that followed after God, that pursued God and obeyed God in every way. And God was pleased with him. He was proud of Job. He loved Job. And we wonder, why would God bring such trial and great trial and hardship as to the point where he lost everything, even in his health? He lost everything but his life. We wonder why. And in the book of Job, we're not really even given an answer to that at the end of Job. But God's word does give us an answer. In this passage, God seeks to use trials as opportunities to grow our faith and develop patience, to wait on the Lord and to increase our dependency upon Him, finding strength in Him alone through our weakness. God said to Paul, when Paul asked God to remove the thorn from his flesh 3 different times, what did God say to him? Did he say, all right? No. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When we allow God to work and to mold us and to shape us through the trials that He brings into our lives, when we choose to see them as opportunities rather than the oppressive suffering that it can be, that's when God can really use it in your life to bring you through that trial, to strengthen your faith, to grow you closer in your relationship with the Lord. So there's the prayer of faith. Let me read one more passage before I move on in reference to the prayer of faith. James chapter 5, verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There's another example of the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. So we have the purpose of faith, we have the prayer of faith, and thirdly, we have the power of faith. The power of faith. Turn over in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. I'll read a little bit before that. Verse 19, he says, Jesus answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, pay attention. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then in 24 it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked this foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. There's the power of faith. Did this man have a perfected faith? No. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Isn't it amazing what God can do with a mustard seed of faith? He cast that foul spirit out. What do we see here? Jesus was looking for faith. And we'll see that in every example where God did a miracle, he was looking for faith. He was looking for faith in those that he healed. He was looking for faith in those that brought sick ones to him or that pleaded for ones that were dying or dead. Secondly, in Luke chapter 7, you don't have to turn there. Keep turning if you want to, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. Luke chapter 7, verses 6 through 10, it says, Then Jesus went with them, and he was now not so far from the house. The centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Jesus was amazed at the centurion's faith. Why? Because it combined a loving concern for another person along with trust in Christ's authority and in his power. This centurion exemplified humility, recognizing that he wasn't even worthy that God should come under his roof. And he was even timid about coming to God in the first place, but he believed that God could. He believed that all that God had to do was will for it to happen, and it would happen. This centurion exemplified complete faith in Christ's authority as the Son of God. Then lastly, we have an example in Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. In verse 20 through 22. This is a very familiar passage, a very familiar account. 9 verses 20 through 22, it says, And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Jesus rewarded her faith by healing her. She sought him, and he rewarded her faith. She had faith in the power of God so much so that she believed that all she had to do was merely touch the hem of his garment. Touch the hem of his garment. In faith that she would be healed. And God honored and rewarded that woman's faith. So we have the purpose of faith, we have the prayer of faith, we have the power of faith, and then lastly, we have the preventative of faith. And I want you to pay close attention to this because this is a very important aspect of faith, the preventative of faith. And what do I mean by that? What's a preventative of faith? Now, I have in here the preventative of no or weak faith. Now, there's a difference between weak faith and a little faith. Weak faith is that faith that comes to God hoping that he'll answer that prayer request. Little faith is that prayer that the Father said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's a little faith. So don't mistake weak faith for little faith. Matthew chapter 13. Turn over just a few chapters over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 57 and 58. Matthew chapter 13, verses 57 and 58. It says, "And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Pay attention to this, verse 58. What does it say? It says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." God desired to do much, much more, but withheld, refrained from that because of their unbelief. That's a very sobering thought. And we'll come back to that thought. A weak faith can prevent the miraculous working of God. So what about your life? What about Morrow Bible Church? Could it be that God desires to do much greater things through Morrow Bible Church, but is holding back because of a weak faith that he sees? And not even just in Pastor Howard, maybe, but maybe Pastor Howard has a strong faith, but there's an Achan in Morrow Bible Church that has a doubting spirit. And God withholds from doing many mighty works that he would love to do in Morrow Bible Church, but refrains because of a lack of belief. When we ask something of the Lord, as we read in James, when we ask something of the Lord, but we doubt whether or not he can or that he will do it, what does it say? It says, "Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." So in Christ's earthly ministry, before I close, let me expound one more with a quote on this point of weak faith. Now, when I said the preventative of faith, we know that the Bible says that there's nothing that's too hard for the Lord, right? We know that God says that all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So, are we saying that if I don't have the faith that I can limit God? That I can actually limit what God's capable of doing? Let me clear that up in a quote. And I don't know who this quote is from. It's actually secondhand from somebody else that gave me. And they didn't have a reference for it either. So the author is unknown, but the point of this quote is powerful. It says, "Unbelief can limit God in this way, not his ability, but his activity. Not in his power, but in his participation in our situation." Let me read that again. It says, "Unbelief can limit God in this way, not his ability, but his activity. Not in his power, but in his participation in our situation." In Christ's earthly ministry, whether in healing others or making disciples, Jesus was always looking for faith. He was always seeking out those that would come to him in faith. Everywhere he went, in every miracle he performed, he was looking for faith from those that he made whole. We read of times such as when the disciples' boat was caught in a storm and Jesus rebuked them in disappointment because of their lack of faith. He said, "O ye of little faith." And yet there's other examples which we've read in which God commended those that showed such great faith. And as Hebrews 11:6 says, and as we saw, he rewarded those who diligently sought him in faith. The fact of the matter is that he still is looking for faith in his children. He still seeks to desires to work miracles in your life. He still desires to do great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." But if you don't come to him in faith, you won't see those great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Faith enables you to see the things that he desires to work through you. So in these four different aspects of faith, where do you find yourself most challenged in? There's the purpose of faith, which is to please God. There's the prayer of faith, which is part of our daily walk. There's the power of faith. And then there's the preventative of faith. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus showed up tonight and he walked in those doors and he looked around, would he look at you? Would he say, I have not found so great a faith in all of Morrow County. I have not found so great a faith in all of America, in all of Ohio, in all of the United States. Would he say that about you? Or would he look at you in disappointment and rebuke you as he did with his disciples so many times and say, oh, ye of little faith? Consider that tonight. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for the powerful lessons about faith in your word that we see. God, I'm afraid that too often I'm with that father that says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's my prayer tonight, God. I have faith, Father, but I ask that you would grow my faith, that you would increase it, that you would help my unbelief. Help me, God, to trust you more and more. God, I ask that you would work in each of the hearts and the lives of those here tonight, that they would consider for themselves what you have promised, and then consider in their own lives, what areas of my life are challenged by this message, challenged by your word. God, I think of the example of Peter when he stepped out on the waters. It was a very stormy night that night. There was crashing, tremendous waves all around. Yet, Peter stepped out in faith, and his eyes were on Jesus. But then his faith slipped, and he looked at the storms around him. He looked at the waves that were crashing around him, and he began to sink in the circumstances around him. He began to wallow and to be sucked in by everything that was going on around him because he lost sight of Christ. Jesus reached out his hand and said, look at me. I'm your salvation. Jesus was walking on top of the storms around him. God, each one of us are going through trials around us. Each one of us have experienced the trials and even the hardships of the COVID-19 that has swept across the United States, and some of us has been affected more so than others. Some of us have been affected by even the decisions that we've had to make as a church, whether we're going to continue to worship or not. What is important? What truly is important in my life? Am I going to choose faith or am I going to choose fear? Am I going to choose God or am I going to choose to cower in fear? God, you send the storms of life into our pathway to try our faith, to test our faith, because if it's not tested, it will never get stronger. It will never become anything more than a weak faith. God, we thank you for the ways in which you challenge our faith, which you try our faith. Help us, God, not to see the trials in our lives through our finite vision, but through your eyes. Help us to look at the trials that you bring into our lives and to look at them as opportunities through which you can work. God, I ask that you would help us to surrender our lives to the potter's touch. Do this work in our hearts tonight, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't have a pamphlet. Well, there's one right there. But we'll sing for our closing hymn. Give of your best to the Master. Pull out your pamphlet and turn to Give of Your Best to the Master. We'll sing that as our closing hymn. Please stand as we sing Give of Your Best to the Master. challenged tonight by God's word. And may you all have a good night, and God bless you.